Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. We have an app that many of you take advantage of. That's the AFR app, so that when you travel and you get outside of our radio signal from a tower, you can get AFR anytime, anywhere on the app. I don't know. We may have as many listeners on the AFR app now as we do on our radio network in terms of the terrestrial towers out there across the country we have. So just download the AFR app. Take you about... Here's the thing. There are some people listening to me right now, and when I say download the app, they start having a little heart palpitations. They're like going,
You are targeting still? Specific people here.
Yeah, well, I met a few of them. Like I met, and they go, well, you know, I know some people listen to that app, but I just don't know how to, I don't know how, that's high tech for me, and I don't want to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And of course, I'm thinking to myself, I don't say this because I don't want to offend them, but I'm saying, like, it takes you about 3 minutes to learn this, okay?
Yes.
And about 2 minutes to actually do it. And then you can click, right?
Yeah.
Click, like put your thumb on a button and listen.
Yeah, but
see how condescending I sounded right there?
But one of the things that I think is a stumbling block for people,
yeah,
of the
kind of a technical sin,
the characteristic, yeah, that you're, yeah, highlighting right now, is that sometimes you have to use a password to download an app. Now, I'm going to say this about my wife. My wife has learned to do a lot of things technologically, but I've started having to keep track of her passwords, because she doesn't know what her password is for anything. And she'll say something like, I want to download this app, or I want to do this, and I don't know my password. So now I tell her,
yeah,
what her password is.
Well, you control her life then.
Well.
In a way.
Sometimes.
I mean, I don't know if that's good or not. Well, yeah.
That is a stumbling block for some people. They go, I don't know how to.
Now, if I go over here to the App Store on my iPhone, for example.
Yeah.
I don't have to have a password. Have I already entered it?
That's probably.
So a one time, is Wesley, you help us here. You understand?
Wesley is one of the people that you're talking about.
Yes. Thank you, Ed. Ed's the only one that remembers that.
What?
You're like my mother-in-law that asked me, do I want a salad every week, when we all know I haven't eaten salad my entire life. You just forget. I'm the least. From a millennial standpoint, I'm the least technology person you'll ever meet.
And you like it that way.
I love it. Here's what I tell people. I do just enough to do my job.
There you go.
All right?
Right.
I support the benefits of it, but I am too whatever you fill in the blank to keep up with it.
Yeah.
I'd hate to use lazy, but some would use that.
So you can download the AFR app on your iPad or iPhone or similar device.
It's very easy.
It's very easy to do, and then you just click boom, and you can listen to us clear anywhere you go, as long as it has high-speed internet.
That was a jab at my mother-in-law, but I was being funny. No. It's an inside joke. We joke about it.
She asked you if you want a salad at
the
time.
And I've never eaten a salad in my ever life, but it's just one of those things, because most people do eat salads.
Yes.
So when we're sitting down, so we joke about that.
And most millennials are technologically savvy.
Let's use this as an example. Let's use this at a moment, Dad, to...
A teaching moment.
Don't ask me for technical questions.
Okay.
I'm not your guy.
Now, Steve, how do you keep up with your passwords?
Now you're going
to... I can't tell you because it's a little bit... First of all, it's a little bit embarrassing. It's not password. I will tell you that my password is not password.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Anyone who does that anymore.
But there is something about my passwords that... If I were to say it, would
defeat the purpose.
Give it away.
Yeah. I get it.
That's how you remember your password.
Yes. you do have to use a password or face recognition if you're downloading an app, because once you hit the app and you say download, it'll ask you your password.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. The people that have come to you and say, I hear you talk about downloading the app and I don't know how, they don't need it because they heard it over terrestrial radio and they're already listening.
Yeah, but some of them travel, you know, and they want to get it when they go out of town. But yeah, that is a good point.
Is good radio. I can.
Well,
the
password. I think, you know, the password thing, not just for an app, but the password thing is getting. You better write.
It's getting ridiculous.
Yeah, but anyway, let's move on to the. First
the hard news, the depressing news of the day.
Bring us the first depressing news story of the day, Steve. Steve Paisley Jordahl, by the way.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah. I must tell you, I grieve for my profession.
Uh-huh.
I've heard of the journalists and networks, you know, like they're dumbing down the news, but I've never heard them this dumb. Oh, my goodness. You're about to hear a report that aired on CNN.
Uh-huh.
This is a reporter on CNN, a package that CNN edited and allowed to be on the air.
This is not a live report from somewhere where someone messes up.
No.
Yeah.
No.
This is a package.
This is a produced package.
Edited, approved.
Now, in the last couple months, they've had a handful, so let's see if we can top this one.
Cut nine.
Obviously, there's a lot of criticisms of
Trump
that he is.
Just to set it up, this is CNN sent a reporter out to a Trump rally.
Okay.
To talk to the Trump people. Sorry. Thank you.
Obviously, there's a lot of criticisms of Trump that he is bad for democracy, that he's bad for American democracy.
Okay. We're a republic.
We're a republic.
We are not a democracy.
We're a representative republic. We're not a democracy.
One thing we've been hearing at Trump rallies like this over the past few months is that America isn't really a democracy.
America's not a democracy, it's a republic.
Like it's not a democracy. Okay, democracy is actually not as good as you think it is.
Some Republicans and pro-Trump media are pushing the idea that America is not a democracy.
The United States of America is not a democracy. We are a constitutional republic.
The United States of America is not a democracy. You don't want to be in a democracy.
We are not a democracy. We are a republic.
Is America a democracy?
America is a democracy. It was founded as a democracy.
I've heard a lot of conspiracy theories. I hear a lot of things out on the road. But to hear Americans, people who would describe themselves as patriots, say that America is not a democracy, that stopped me in my tracks.
You are hearing people say America is not a democracy because there are people around Trump who want them to be saying that, who've been planting that narrative.
Who is that? Who are we listening to? Was that CNN?
That was CNN.
Oh, now I'm going to upset the apple cart. Okay, you want to hear our listeners? Their heads are going to explode what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
All right?
I'm going to stand back.
Okay.
Because the liberal lightning is about to strike.
Coming from a political science major. Okay? If you say America is not a democracy, you are wrong. Okay? We are a representative democracy, not a direct democracy.
Representative republic.
No, representative democracy and the form it takes is a republic. Okay. So I think what people are trying to say is we are not a direct democracy where everyone votes for every measure that is passed.
It is.
We are a representative. We are a representative democracy in the form of a republic. A democracy is a form of government where the people rule. Okay, that's what the word literally means. A representative democracy is a form of government where the people rule through their representatives. And the fact that we are a republic goes more to the fact of our Constitution setting it up.
That before you speak, Steve, I know you want to speak. Let me just say this. Let me come back to this if I need to, but CNN, I think your point, Steve, here is that, and I see what CNN was trying to do there, okay? CNN was trying to paint Trump supporters as people who believed in totalitarianism, and what do you call it when some authoritarianism and a dictatorship. In other words, those who support Trump are for a dictatorship. That's what they were trying to do with that piece. That's why they kept saying democracy, democracy. Right. But go ahead.
All right. It is painfully and very obvious that what you said, Ed, is true. That we are a representative republic or democracy. I know there's a difference, but the thing that gets me is that CNN legitimately did not understand that.
Right.
They weren't just trying to ding Trump as a dictator. It's obvious. If you say to somebody, they say, hey, you know, it's a threat to democracy. You say to them, well, you know, we're not really a democracy. We're a representative republic. Well, okay, but they use democracy in this way or that way or whatever.
Right.
No, CNN had no clue. It was a conspiracy theory.
Right.
And they didn't know. Right. And you would think that somebody, they have lawyers at CNN.
Right.
People that were political strategists. Someone would have said, hey, they're right, you know. Say what you want, but.
Well, yeah, but what they were trying to insinuate is just like I said, the whole point of that piece you just heard right there, what with the ominous music in the background, I think, was to say these people who support Trump are for a theocracy,
right,
or a dictatorship. They're not for allowing everybody to have a voice and a vote.
They may have been trying to do that, but they had to prove themselves to have a 30-point IQ to do it.
Right.
So
I think you're being generous to CNN.
Maybe
30 points. Our founders hated direct democracy.
Yeah.
They hated it.
I know what you guys were discussing, but I'm saying that CNN did not know the difference. They thought that when we said that we're not a democracy, that we're a representative, that they thought this was some conspiracy theory. They used the word conspiracy theory.
And they tied it to Trump because they want to continue to say that Trump is a dictator.
No, because they didn't know.
Yeah.
No, Trump.
Because they didn't know.
Right.
Sorry. Say it louder and scream more.
Because they didn't know.
Oh, man.
All right, next story.
All right, back to CNN. CNN. They are freaking out a little bit because of the polling that's going on. I want you to hear, this is one of their analysts.
Who's they?
They, CNN.
Oh, you're still on CNN.
I'm still on CNN. Different story, same network.
Okay.
CNN is reporting on the polls, which are being very bad news for Joe Biden and Democrats, as we've discussed many times on this show. Harry Enten is one of their analysts, and he is looking at the numbers of black voters who support Biden versus Trump, and they are not at all happy. Listen to cut three.
In 2020, Joe Biden was getting 86% of the African-American vote. Look at where it is now. It's 70%. That's a 16-point drop, John. And more than that, it's not just that Joe Biden is losing ground. It's that Donald Trump is gaining ground. You go from 7% single digits at this point in 2020 to now 21%. And again, John, I keep looking for signs that this is going to go back to normal, and I don't see it yet in the polling. If anything, right now, we're careening towards a historic performance for Republican presidential candidate, the likes of which we have not seen in six decades.
That's garbage, what he just said right there. Trump will not outperform Reagan.
Well, Reagan's how many decades ago? That was six decades.
It was 80 through 88.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Outperform Reagan
What did he just say? What was the last thing he said?
We're heading toward a Republican victory that we haven't seen in six decades.
He's just trying to scare the Democrat voters right there.
Think it'll work.
I'm not saying he's wrong about the facts that he mentioned about the story. Right. I'm saying that was hyperbole and fear-mongering, the last thing he said there, because if the polls hold up and President Trump wins, he's not going to carry 49 states.
That's not going to – That'll
never happen in our country in the foreseeable future. But anyway,
I think one of the important things that he said, though, was that, I mean, this is a guy that watches the polls and maybe knows that we are in a representative republic. I don't know. But he doesn't see this correcting itself. Is this not like, well, this is a one-time thing, and these are, he says that these are voters that have gone and left and are not coming back.
Gone where?
To the Republican Party.
Yeah, I think that's probably a stretch. Listen, I did see this report, and it was fascinating.
Who is the report by again?
The guy's name is Harry Enten, E-N-T-E-N.
First, there's no way he can match what Reagan did in 1984.
No.
Reagan won every state except for Minnesota, which was Walter Mondale's
home state
and the District of Columbia. Okay, so I think Mondale won like 13 electoral votes. There's no way that, I don't know, I don't think anybody in our lifetime, Republican, will ever match that. Okay. Second of all, I think it is very likely that Donald Trump here in 2024, barring something else coming out or whatever, it probably is going to trim away a pretty sizable chunk, at least of young black men. The question is, will they vote on those convictions or will they just answer pollsters and say Biden or Trump? But third of all, Republicans would, in order to keep those voters, Republicans would have to, post-Trump, make a serious effort to communicate their principles in order to keep those voters. But that is fascinating. That seems to be a real trend of black voters being chipped away by Donald Trump, I think on the strength of his personality and what's happening to him in the political arena with all these basically prosecutions that look more like persecutions than real legal prosecutions. So are these voters tied to Trump as a person or to the Republican Party? That remains to be seen.
I think the problem with the post-Trump reaching out and addressing the issues in the black community is that it's not good news for the black community. You've got to get fathers back in the household, which means you have to apply some discipline, some religious inculcation that's not there right now, or they're not paying attention to. The government has, in the 1960s, the Great Society got told them that they needed welfare and got them hooked on welfare. A lot of the African-American community, a lot of whites,
and
poor
single,
people.
Single moms.
Too. Single moms, 70% are single moms.
So here's the Republican.
To fix that, it's gonna take pain.
Well, here's one thing that I think Republicans ought to put forward and say, because right now you can't have the father in the home and still get your welfare. I think you eliminate that.
Yeah.
I think you say if the biological father's in the home, he can stay and you don't lose your welfare, and try to build strong families that way. Fix schools. School choice is something that's a Republican principle. I think that a lot of black families are pushing for to get their kids in better schools. There's ways to build that message, but in order to keep those black voters
gradually,
whatever percentage that is peeled away from the Democratic Party, to keep those, you're going to have to make those kinds of proposals.
I'm voting for Ed.
Oh, no, I'm not running for nothing.
Don't we have a story, do we have the story on hand, one of the ones that we discussed this morning about the percentage of young black voters going to the GOP?
Yeah, we just did it.
We just did that.
Well, I'm sorry. You actually covered the actual percentage, though?
Did you do the young black voters, the percentage? Did he in that clip?
Yeah, he did. He talked about the numbers.
Okay.
86% in 2020 went for Biden, and now it's 70%. 7% in 2020 were for Trump, and now it's up to 21%.
Yeah.
Okay. While that story was going on, I was reading here on Fox News, which was hard to – I had to read it three times. MSNBC host worries about Biden that he will have to overcome the media's disadvantage, which is a major disadvantage, talking about the debate. I don't know if y'all – I heard the clip, but I'm trying to be able to share it. The clip's better than what I'll read, but I'll read it. I like MSNBC host, she says this, talking specifically about Biden and Trump, the debate. She says, it already feels like the bar is set so high for Biden to clear is so much more substantially higher than it would be for Trump has to clear, which is literally Trump just has to be alive. Trump has to be staying there, and he just has to have words coming out of his mouth, which is an unfair advantage for Trump, for Biden.
You know,
have y'all seen that clip?
No, yeah. I have not.
No, okay. Are you saying that Trump has to stand?
Yes, that's what she. Yeah.
No. It's the exact opposite.
It is obviously
Joe Biden. If he doesn't pass out,
right,
then he wins the debate. The media is going to say he's had a triumph.
Dad, this right. audio clip is worth playing tomorrow. We'll bring it in tomorrow because it's an MSNBC host who says basically Trump just has to show up. And that Biden is at a major disadvantage.
She's saying
the opposite of what.
The debate is when?
That's a week from this Thursday, yeah. I think.
A week from Thursday.
Where are they doing that?
In some studio somewhere.
That's right, in some studio somewhere. That's good reporting right there.
Yeah, thank you. What now? But it doesn't matter because it's not going to be a college.
It really does.
It's on June 27th.
The bar is so incredibly low for Joe Biden. Literally, if he doesn't completely mess up or have one of his, freezing moments.
The reason I brought this story, and I know we didn't discuss this beforehand, but I'm sitting here reading this going, this can't be right. I remember listening to the audio yesterday, but then when you reread it, it's like.
It's in Atlanta.
It's in Atlanta.
CNN headquarters, studio. Yeah.
Okay, you got the debate, and the debate between Trump and Biden is such that they're going to be in a studio with one questioner, one or two.
It's going to be Jake Tapper and Dana Bash.
Okay, and they're going to be doing the questioning, yes. The moderating. There's no audience. That'll be interesting. There's no audience because we're used to seeing debates with audiences. And then the candidates themselves can't bring notes and no earpieces.
That's true about most debates, though. You can't bring in notes or have earpieces.
I've also heard that they won't be allowed to directly address each other. So, in other words, they answer the question. I don't think there's going to be any, and your reply to that, Mr. Trump, is.
Oh, okay, no back and forth
I don't think there's any of that back and forth because that's incredibly... Trump has an advantage.
I'll be curious to see how this actually plays out. And if you read it out on paper, the way it's structured, all the stuff you mentioned and more, I like the concept because then it's all about the ideas.
Yeah.
So I prefer this. I haven't seen a presidential debate with any of these restrictions in my lifetime.
Right.
It's been a food fight for the last 15 years that I've watched. So
that's a good way to describe
it. I would like to see. I mean, if it works out, I don't see how, but it'd be interesting to see if it works out.
It's going to okay. It's serious, but I think it's going to be funny.
You do?
Oh yeah,
it's on both sides.
Both sides.
I'm watching it.
I'm not against humor. I think it's going to be hilarious. Huh?
It's
own unique way.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like watching the Stanley Cup Finals. I mean, this is on my calendar. Yeah. I'm watching
You're going to hear a lot of Biden talking with Trump's mic cut off because they're going to cut mics off. And yeah. You're going to hear the
voice. Are they going to drop gloves?
Yeah. Anyway, we'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.